Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let us rock the Casbah.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Would you kindly send me the lyrics to Rock the Casbah? What were the Sharia law don't like it, so Rock the Casbah, something like that. You can send lyrics to 80s tunes or anything wretched to idea@wretched.org, or if you'd like to text, use your thumbs and dial 877-282-2337.
All right, we're going to start with a question from Jackie. Todd, I was listening to Witness Wednesday this week, and I noticed that you wrapped up a conversation with an architect pretty quickly, but you had a longer conversation with the guy you talked to next. So my question is, how do you determine when to wrap up an evangelistic conversation?
When they start to look agitated. That's one of the signs. You just play it by sense. Oh, did I use that word? Just have manners. See, they give body cues. Or they start looking at their watch, whatever it is. And or you just sense, you know, this just wouldn't be smart at this time. Just use some wisdom. Just use some common sense. Do I always make the right decision? No, of course not. But you will, if you do it more, you'll know how far you can push it. Imagine you're in a normal conversation. That's one of the most helpful things that you can do. That was one of the hardest things for me when I first started to evangelize people. It was that it was like this thing that is distinct from all other things. I'm going to have a religious conversation with you. And when I would treat it that way, it was always just kind of rough, forced. And my mind would be flying because it had to be a religious conversation. No, just have a conversation. And talk about Jesus Christ. And talk about why he is the better thing. And talk about why everything that he commands is good. There was a hymn. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God give praise and glory. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. I'll tell you, if you can get those two lines down from a hymn, you'll have more shalom. Within the kingdom of his might, every resource is fully available to him because he is every resource, everything. He's totally sovereign, totally omnipotent, and he totally cares about his children. So, lo, all is just, all is right. If you can get that simple truth, it's a big truth, but it's a simple truth, into your brain, it will help you. Did I just say brain? I hope Gifford isn't listening. If you can memorize that wherever it goes inside of your person, you will deal with tragedies better. You will not be afraid as much. You'll have more courage. You won't get political heebie-jeebies when you see that, for instance, the debt is at an all-time high. But apparently, that's no big problemo anymore. The point is, knowing that God is the king who rules and reigns sovereignly and justly brings you peace. I was on the AI machine, and I asked it, this was for last week's sermon. I didn't use it, but I was curious. We're talking about Jesus the king. When Pontius Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "I am." I just saw somebody, sorry, I'm getting away from the point that I got away from the point on. There was somebody, I think, accusing an open-air preacher. Hey, with this whole God thing, And when people are talking like that, by the way, it's usually not a good sign that this is going to go well. This young lady's accusation was, Jesus never said he's God. Oh, man, Scylla. He most certainly did. He just didn't put those three words together in that structure. He said it more profoundly. And one of those ways, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, that would be another. Matthew, there's at least 20 instances where Jesus proclaims his deity without saying, I am God. Nevertheless, Pontius Pilate asks him, are you king of the Jews? Jesus says, I am. So we did a deep dive into the kingship of Jesus Christ, understanding what kind of a king he is, all of the different aspects that should cause us to rest and not to freak out. And so as I was doing sermon prep for it, I asked AI the question, what form of government is best for human flourishing? You know, and it gave me a treatise on representative republic versus democracy, et cetera. And I said, if the leaders were perfect, leader or leaders were perfect, what would be the ideal form of government? Do you know what the answer was from the AI machine? Monarchy. Because if you got one guy who's perfect, all of his verdicts would be right, accurate, and just. All of his decisions would be ideal because they would be, you know, perfect. A monarchy is ideal, but only when the king is perfectly righteous. That's our king. You have got a king who never has a misstep, no scandals, no long afternoon naps. Our king is perfect and righteous and just, and he's your king right now. You don't have to wait for him to set up his kingdom on earth when heaven descends. You don't have to wait. You can live underneath his kingship right now, and you'll be singing more and more within the kingdom of his might. Lo, all is just and all is right. To God, give praise and glory, and send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
This is from Paula. Todd, just listen to your program where you use the term fungelicals.
That was Mrs. Friel.
Okay.
That was her idea.
Well, Paula's wondering, what's your opinion of VBS? It seems our youth are depending on everything being fun or they're not interested.
Yeah, I have to be careful on this one because I've got a personal opinion about it, because it's probably in response to the silliness of so many youth groups and, frankly, the silliness of our entire culture. I've got to remove that. Is there anything sinful about a church putting on a vacation Bible school? No, not like on the face of it. Of course not. Now, what about the fun elements? Should a church be doing that? My inclination is no, because you're doing vacation, you know, Bible school, not vacation fun school. That's kind of my inclination and my bent. But do I understand, you know, you got a bunch of kids and they got energy and they're wanting to do things that are kind of fun so that they've got a good feeling about the church? Yeah, I get that. I do. And if at ABC, at Alpharetta Bible Church, if people were like, let's do vacation Bible school and we're going to have some fun stuff and we're going to teach kids the Bible, my response would be, how much are we going to be teaching the kids the Bible? Because if that's the focus of this thing, then I say, cool. Now, you can do that in different ways that are kid appropriate. You could put on little plays. I'm down with that. You could do it in the classrooms. Cool. Group thing. Whatever. But as long as the Bible is central, if you're going to have some of those other elements to just kind of help them to be in a setting like that for 2 hours and have a good feeling about the church, okay. But it's these vacation Bible schools where the focus is the fun slide and the focus is the candy or just the arts and crafts projects. Oh yeah, we do some Bible too. That's just flipped. So am I a total curmudgeon? Not a total one, pretty much total, but not entirely total curmudgeon. But the focus should be, if you're going to do fun stuff, do fun stuff. Make sure that you give them the most important thing. They really don't need fun. They get enough fun. Western civilization is built on fun. And we don't do fun as well as the world does fun. Let's be honest. Can we just be honest about that? The church just does not do worldly things as well as the world. Unless, of course, you're Stephen Furtick's church. 877-282-2337.
I think there are some churches that do a really good job making VBS gospel-centered.
Yes.
But I think a good way to look at it, if we can't answer that this would still work if all the games and prizes and music and all that stuff disappeared, then I think we're doing it wrong.
Look, there's a challenge to it, and that challenge would be the parents. Because if the kids aren't like, hey, I'm excited, we got to go to vacation because it's so much fun, that's kind of what drives so many mega churches. Well, then the parents have to say, I know you don't think it's fun, honey, but it's good for you. And we really, frankly, insist you're going so that you can learn about Jesus. I get it. You use it as an evangelistic out. I get it. But what if we encourage the parents to let us walk alongside them to pull them up and to not infantilize them further and to call them to maturity? Wouldn't that be, you know, countercultural? This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Important dates in Christian history. 1540. The Society of Jesus is approved by the Vatican. Founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit order sent out zealous missionaries throughout the world, counteracting the Reformation and bringing Roman Catholic Christianity to the Americas.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of Vacation Bible School, this is Wretched Radio. So last Sunday, we're doing one of those church info meetings, I guess is what you call them. Stick around if you're interested in becoming a member of Alpharetta Bible Church. You got questions, we'll share with you church polity, what our priorities are, etc., why we do what we do, so that you can make a good decision for you and for your family. And when we were done, a woman grabbed me by the arm, and I wasn't sure how to take this initially. And she said, "This is adult church." And my response was hesitate a little bit because I didn't know if she meant that as a good thing or a bad thing. And I said, "Yes, it is." Yeah, and thankfully, we're on the same page with that. Why? Because church isn't about fun. Church is not about amusements. Church is about worshiping the living God. Church is about coming together to deal with bigger issues than what type of joystick do you use when you play the Nintendo game. Church is where we come together to fellowship around Jesus Christ, to do the one another's with one another, to be a spiritual family. That's what we're doing there. It's not about whoop-dee-doo. And so I was encouraged that this lady, having heard our answers to questions and experiencing our church service, said this is adult church. And it got me to thinking about the kids. Do we have Sunday school for kids? Yes, we do. I think right now we're either using the Answers in Genesis curriculum. We might be using Grace Kids from GCC. I think that's what we're still using. We talked about using the AIG probably next time. At any rate, it's more serious Bible teaching. And I know that is something that might keep some families from coming to church. That is just a reality. If your church is not presented in such a way that the kids don't crab about going on Sunday morning, you're not going to grow like other places. Because there's so many parents who, is the first sign that the kids are hesitant to go to church, they're just done. If the kids complain about church, a lot of parents will just go, "Okay, well, I guess we won't go, or we got to find another place where the kids will be happy." I get that. I feel that. But rather than going down to the level of the kids, what if we brought the kids up? What if we explained to them, you know, I know that this is not as fun as a video game, but these are more important things. And we believe that if you'll plug into this and learn what God would have you to know, you're going to become more mature. You're going to understand things better. You're not going to make mistakes that you'll regret for decades. These are big things. These are important things. So, honey, we're going to church. And if you would let your church then walk alongside you at that level to pull the kids up, not to amuse them, but to teach them and disciple them, the kids will be better off for it. And so will the church, by the way. Is that a tough sled? You better believe it is. You don't have fun for my kid, we're out of here. It's right up there with music. If your music isn't my cup of tea, gone. These are the challenges that a conservative church has. So if you happen to be one of those pastors, Not because you're just crabby and you don't want the kids to have any fun, which I doubt is the way anybody feels. Hang in there. Be encouraged. Don't expect explosive growth. Not going to happen. And furthermore, you might have a slightly aging demographic coming to your church. But note this well, the younger generation, I'm not talking about kids and 12 and 14-year-olds. I'm talking about 18 to 24-year-olds. Guess what they want? They want something what they call sacred. They want sacred spaces. That's why there's a trend right now. I don't know how substantial, but there's a trend of 18 to 24-year-olds that are digging Gothic churches. Wow, look at, oh, I was just reading an article. It was really actually quite a well-written article. This was a young man who was an atheist, who decided they were, he was in Paris and he and his buddies decided, let's go to Spain for the catch a quick flight. And they didn't have tickets to get into anything. And so the big Catholic church was open. So they went to the big Catholic church and they actually stuck around for mass. Now, I'm not endorsing the Catholic system. The point is, he was struck by how tall the ceilings were. And it made me feel kind of insignificant. Bingo, you're getting the message. That's why they did that. And that there were that this was set apart for something different. And the mass, which I didn't understand because it was in Spanish and Latin, apparently, didn't understand. Yet I knew something different was going on here, and he was taken by it. Now, hopefully he didn't join the Roman Catholic Church. But the point is, I think he's just one of many. A growing number of young people who they don't want Wombaland. They don't want, they can get dopey anywhere. They can run off to an amusement park or the go-kart park, or they can just do it on their TV and on their phone. They're looking for something different. So Pastor, you got to know young people are looking for it. You might struggle with the demographic of younger parents with younger kids. That is true. But maybe educating those parents, I want you to know, we're not going to treat your child like a child. We're going to have higher expectations for your child because we want to help you, mom and dad, to bring them up to a level of maturity that surpasses that of their peers because we think that these things will do that for them. So you might get some complaints from the kids. We encourage you, just keep bringing them, just keep bringing them, keep bringing them. And you'll notice a change in them and you. But Pastor, that might not fly. And you might not see those big numbers from that particular demographic. So I would encourage you, do what you think God wants you to do in church. And if you fully believe, I guess, that God wants us to amuse children, well, amuse away. But if you think that we are called to disciple them and train them and teach them and to bring them into adulthood as quickly as possible, then carry on. You will find those who are very interested, old and young alike. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. It's a text. Todd, is it permissible to use a Bible verse out of context for the purpose of encouraging school teachers?
No. No.
I thought I was going to be wrong. But yeah, no. No.
You can't justify misusing a Bible verse. That would be pragmatism. So that would be a great big no-go. And besides, if it's not true, if it's not being truly applied, it won't really encourage them. It'll potentially feel like a fortune cookie and, oh, that's nice. Yes, but it doesn't have the power because it's not right. A Bible verse has to be applied rightly for it to do the convicting or convincing or conforming work that it is designed to do. So short answer is no. Long answer is no. 877-282-2337.
This is from Mary. And Todd, I hear you say smallo Orthodox all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
I mean, not the Eastern Orthodox Church. Capital O Orthodox would be any of the Eastern religions. Which, by the way, Jimmy, this is something I did not know about the Eastern Orthodox Church. Guess who they believe got saved? It's a Bible person who got saved and then became a saint along with his wife. Can you guess? They.
No.
What are we talking about?
I'm lost.
Eastern Orthodoxy. The Eastern Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
They think that Pontius Pilate got saved and he became a saint. And his wife, Procla, I believe. It was like Gladys of Procula. Procla is the short. Now, is there any historical support for that? No, there's not. There, I think about 5th century, there was some rumor got spread. There's no evidence that he got saved. And there's certainly no reason to think that somehow he's a canonized saint because, well, anybody who's born again is actually a Saint Pontius Pilate. We don't know what happened to him. He either committed suicide, but the Eastern, or he became a believer, or just he died a miserable wretch of a man because he was a man deformed by sin. He was a man who showed the effects of being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. He knew Jesus was innocent. What did he choose? Political expediency. The man was a coward. You want to know what sin does to somebody? Look at Pontius Pilate. Did he get saved? Well, I hope so. Should he be esteemed as a saint? No, no more than anybody else who has become a saint because of Jesus Christ. If you want to know who a saint is, the answer is anybody who's repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Eastern Orthodoxy, capital O, small O Orthodoxy is just you are Orthodox in the Christian verities, especially the essentials. There's a big difference. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Franklin Graham leads off the news today. He's building a war chest to defend Christians across Europe. His legal team has disclosed that the Billy Graham Defense Fund now holds over £1 million. After winning multiple discrimination cases against UK venues, they canceled his God Loves You events under pressure from LGBT activists. Meanwhile, the church in Wales just elected its first openly lesbian Archbishop, Cherry Van. At the age of 66, lives with her civil partner named Wendy, and now she will lead a denomination that's institutionally turned away from biblical teaching.
Welcome.
And AOL is in the news. Are they even still in business? Apparently they are. I'm talking America Online. And our younger listeners, you're going to have to look them up. But they're finally pulling the plug on dial-up internet after 34 years. I had no idea dial-up internet was still a thing. I had no idea American Online was still a thing. But apparently both are. And one is leaving us. And that is dial-up internet, leaving 265,000 Americans who still used it. The iconic service that connected a generation will officially disconnect on September 30th.
You've got mail.
That brings back memories of simpler times and simpler days, doesn't it? Bill Gates, who was actually involved in some of those simple times, well, he's in the news as well. He's pushing lab-grown butter made from carbon dioxide and hydrogen as his latest climate salvation project. His company, Savor, plans to have this industrial park creation on shelves by 2027 because apparently real butter from actual cows is just too dangerous for the planet. But the most disturbing story involves Illinois mandating actual psychiatric screenings for children starting in third grade. This builds on the scandalous history of the PHQ-9 test, a depression screening tool literally created by Pfizer's marketing department, who designed it to expand SSRI prescriptions into primary care. Thank you, Big Pharma. Finally, the mayor of D.C. has called Donald Trump's federal takeover of city law enforcement unsettling and unprecedented while claiming crime has dropped to 30-year lows. The White House responded with facts. Funny how critics hate those pesky facts. And the facts, well, they say D.C. had the fourth highest homicide rate in the country in 2024, six times higher than New York City. If D.C. were a state, it would have led the nation in murders. The mayor's crime statistics are also under investigation after a police commander allegedly falsified data to create the appearance of decreasing violence. When your police union accuses you of cooking the books, maybe it's time to admit the problem isn't the presidential rhetoric. His words, not mine. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you one of the people who regularly sends wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org? Then I say thank you. This is Wretched Radio. If you run across anything wretched on the internet, and frankly, it's very hard not to. There's a lot of wretched out there. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org? And if you're one of those faithful ones who regularly does, I appreciate it. I truly do. If you want to, text us without expecting a response because Jimmy's just too crabby to want to talk to anybody.
That's not it. That's not it at all.
Why don't you respond to text then?
Because I can't.
Well, it's simple. You turn on the phone and then you just hit reply.
It's not on the phone. It's on the computer and you bought the cheap package, Todd.
That just got turned real hard. 877-282-2337. But Jimmy can't respond. Not because he's not able. It's that the technology apparently for some reason doesn't let us. You know, I wonder if it has to do with like capturing people's numbers and what have you. More and more, are you getting more like text messages from people you didn't ask for a message from?
Yes.
That's increasing. It almost seems like we're breaking down that barrier. We've talked about that over the years. And every time we're like, no, we're not. Just because we've got somebody's phone number doesn't mean that they want to know that there's an incredible sale with things up to 75% off at FortisInstitute.org. We don't want to just send that to you without permission. But apparently, I think that's changed. Because even ministries that somehow have our data, we just get texts from them. But we haven't crossed the Rubicon on that one yet. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a youth pastor. Recently, I was approached by my pastor and his wife and told I needed to make things more entertaining. Oh, boy. My main purpose in ministry is to see the youth saved and equipped with God's word. I was also asked to apologize to a youth parent for quoting Proverbs 20, verse 1. Do you have any advice for me or guidance?
He was done what by a parent who said what?
He was asked to apologize to a youth parent for quoting Proverbs 20.
All he did was quote it.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a little hard. You want me to apologize for what the Bible says in print? Okay. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. When you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Yeah. Might not be the kid who's in. No, Mom and Dad, I don't want to hear about not getting drunk because I'm an alcoholic. I wonder if Mom and Dad found that offensive. Zoinks, Scoob. This is precisely why youth group, in my estimation, shouldn't be silly. A youth group should be something where parents expect this is going to be biblical and this is going to be different. I think every church needs to make a decision, and most pastors have. Unfortunately, most pastors, I think, make the wrong decision. They take a look at the demographic in their community. They know what everybody said, how many kids they got. And they know that if they can get the kids coming, Mom and Dad will come too. It is a tried and true formula, but it comes at a cost because kids naturally don't want to just sit there for an hour and hear a text exposited. They just don't. And so you need to get the support of the parents, and you probably won't in most instances. And you're going to get members that are complaining, hey, how come we're not growing? How come, you know, down the street, they've got a super duper park and the kids just can, wow, their parking lot is full. There's a lot of pressure. And that is why we have to ask, I think, a singular question. What does God want our church to be? What does he want? What are we about here? And I get it. There's competing church growth thinking. Because you've got to decide how much energy you're going to put into the kids and into the kids' programs and what you're doing in the kids' programs. And you could rationalize, I get it. And this is a modus operandi. I just disagree with it. I don't think that it's a heresy. I just don't think it's right. The thinking is, if we do these fun things for the kids, they come, the parents are happy, we have more people. They hear truth, perhaps get saved, and then they get plugged in. I get it. It's kind of the seeker-sensitive model, basically. I reject that. Why? Because God runs the church. Not bait and switch. not amusing kids into the kingdom. What are we supposed to be? Preach the word in season, out of season. Here is what I want in a church service. Here are the elements that I, God, am regulating. And we let him dictate how the church is run. And if it grows, praise God. And if it doesn't, praise God. Dude, I would encourage you, try to persuade your pastor. I can't do that. You're gonna have to find a rodeo jockey to have fun with the kids. I want to instruct them and teach them, because these kids don't need entertainment when they are getting absolutely drubbed at school, in the neighborhood, on social media. If you're a mom and dad, you probably don't know how nasty it is in social media with the kids. I don't think that I fully grasp it, but I've been exposed to enough of it where I've heard young people talk about what people do to other students, what they call online bullying. You might be in the demographic where it's like, online bullying? You mean they're just saying stuff about you? Yeah, try getting bullied. Try getting hit in the face by the big kid at school for your entire third grade year. Well, we maybe minimize it, but the reality is it's pretty nasty stuff. What do they need from their church? To pretend like everything is happy? How's about diving in with them and dealing with it and teaching them how to love bullies and how to respond to filthy tweets that get sent to them? Or these people that are trying to lure you into sin, whether it's social media or in person. Or if you've done something that you wish you hadn't done, how do you deal with that? But these are the things that the kids are up against, and we're amusing them? Ooh, baby. 877-282-2337.
This is
finally, to that young man, dude, choose your course now. What kind of a pastor are you going to be? Choose it now. And then find the stream where you're not constantly going up against it. Sorry, 877-282-2337.
This is from Anna. Todd, my mother recently passed away. I'm about to start college. My dad has done a great job teaching me apologetics, and I plan to get involved with the BCM. I'm still afraid I might fall into temptation again, especially with so much freedom ahead of me. What advice would you give for staying alive in Christ in an environment so saturated with sin? And how can I find peace knowing my mother is not going to be with me through it?
Well, two kind of distinct questions. First thing you should do is join a local church at your campus. Simple as that. Join it, become a member, even if you have joint membership. This is one of those dynamics where I think it's fine. Your home church and your campus church, because you're living away for an extended period of time, they will keep you safe. Meet with the pastor. Meet with leaders and say, hey, I'm here. I want to be held accountable. And they will if they're a good church. It is the safest thing that you can do. Did she say BCM?
Yeah, that's
Baptist College Ministry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the gang that invited us to come to Oklahoma University in October. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you're a campus ministry and you'd like us to come to campus, I think talking about deconstruction in Oklahoma, mental health stuff in Atlanta, send a note to Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fortisinstitute.org. Am I articulating everything correctly?
I think so.
Lee? Dalton at fortisinstitute.org, and we'll start a conversation about that. Join a local, join a good BCM. Great. But you must join a local church. Now let's talk about your mom. I ain't got nothing that makes it instantly feel better. Nobody does. Losing one's mom, even if you had a rotten mom, it's a loss, isn't it? So I can't say, do this and everything is going to be better. I don't have a magic bromide, and a single Bible verse won't even do that for you. But I could encourage you, as you go off to university and you're dealing with the loss, you need to grieve that appropriately. That's a big loss. So don't feel bad about feeling bad. It's okay. Mourn. But start doing the things that will expedite healing for you. What are those things? Be a good servant of King Jesus Christ. Be reading your Bible, study him, stare at him. be in a fellowship. There's that local church membership component that is so crucial for you. Be praying to God. Read about God's goodness. Read about God's love. Study heaven is a very good idea. If you haven't read it, Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven, we got any copies left at the Fortis sale?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, you can check it out yourself at fortisinstitute.org. I know people who have read that book and they're like, I can't wait to get there. And I would never want my loved one to come back now, knowing how amazing heaven is. And as you do those things, God will progressively heal your heart. And I'm sorry for your loss. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us, to glorify him, and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's number is 2727. This is Wretched Radio, not the lottery. The number 27 are the number of copies of Heaven that we have available at fortisinstitute.org. They are currently on sale. The book is by Randy Alcorn, and it costs... how much, Jimmy?
$6.99.
Okay, it's still a lot for a book, but you'll never find it cheaper, honestly. And I think those are hardcovers, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
They're lovely books. I'm telling you, read the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn, and it's like, let's go. That's good, Lord. If you could now, would be great. And if you've lost a loved one who's a believer and you know where they are and what they're doing, and if you know all of the delights that await them for all of eternity, it will help your heal your broken heart. FortisInstitute.org, Heaven by Randy Elkhorn. The conclusion, his other book, Safely Home. Oh, man. Do we have those there? Do we have any of those available?
I'm looking. I think so.
We've got some stuff left. It's things. I don't think anything is less than 75% off. It's just really, even if you don't watch it or read it, you will save money if you buy it. Okay, I know that that actually isn't true, but isn't that kind of how we operate sometimes? 87. We got any copies?
110.
Oh, what?
749.
110. Okay, here's a challenge. I'm not kidding.
Buy 100 right now.
Okay, let's go with it. Buy 100 of them. Why not? No, get the book. Read it. I'm telling you, it will grow you. And if you think, oh, fiction, I don't do fiction. I don't either. But I'm telling you, that book, for me, it's right up there with Pilgrim's Progress. It's life-changing in that you get a different perspective about Christianity based on the zip code, specifically China. And it gives you a perspective on American Western evangelicalism that just causes you to go, oh, we're so not serious. Oh, we play so many games when the world is so serious. It'll change you. And it will encourage you to be more faithful and more courageous. Give it a try. It's theology put to fiction. Not that Randy changes the theology so that it's not true. He's masterfully woven theology into a narrative that is so compelling. I challenge you. FortisInstitute.org. And when you're done reading that, or while you're reading it, because it might take you a long time, send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I volunteer in our local jail and minister to the inmates. What does it mean to do the Great Commission and make disciples? I go into the jail and present a message around a piece of scripture, but I don't feel like I'm fulfilling that part.
Then to go and make a disciple, it requires preaching the gospel. All right, sorry for this. The booklets that we have, they don't have staples in them, so you can bring them into prisons. I think we're out of The Man Who Split Time.
Yep.
Okay, but I Don't Stub Your Toe is a perfect gospel present. Bring it and give it to them. I know people who bring, they dole them out by the hundreds in prisons because it's a really clear gospel presentation. In order to become a disciple, one must hear the gospel. By the way, the teaching that you're doing, that is great. That is awesome. Just make sure that when you're in there, everybody knows the gospel. Don't assume that they do. That would be kind of go past go. No, it would be collecting $200 before you pass go. That's what I was trying to say. You got to make sure that they actually know the gospel. Then you can teach them stuff because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And they can't apply it if they're not saved, which, by the way, is also a principle of biblical counseling. You can't counsel somebody biblically if they're not saved. Otherwise, you're giving them life hacks and moralisms. The Bible isn't intended to be that. It's intended to transform you. And the only way that it can is if you actually believe it first. 877, and way to go, whoever you are. 877-282-2337.
You know how much those booklets are? I just realized how much they are.
They're cheap.
40 cents?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, they're 40 cents.
Wow. And I'm going to buy some.
Here's another challenge for you. Get some and go to a university campus. You'll give them out. So you get a case. You're going, 240, I'll never. Hours gone. You just walk around. Here you go. Hey, make sure you read this. Oh, did you get one of these? I'm telling you, they will fly out of your hands. And you will go home clicking your heels for just 40 cents, FortisInstitute.org.
All right, this is from Deborah. Todd, I just watched a video by you about the Lord's Supper and church membership. I have not joined the church I'm currently attending because I've been wrestling with the unbiblical sinner's prayer that the pastor sometimes offers to the people at the end of service. Should I be attending this church?
Depends. That would not be an automatic disqualifier. So let's start there. Let's start on the bright side of this. I don't know about you, but I have a propensity. It's like, I'm looking for the problem, and that's what I'm going to focus on. Let's start with all the stuff that they're doing right. Are they small O orthodox? Are they square on the essentials? Are they preaching truth? Even if it's not rich and robust, are they preaching truth? They're not telling lies. They're not deceiving and misleading. Okay, then you got yourself a decent church. Now they're doing something that you don't agree with, like the sinner's prayer. And I join you in that disagreement, but I don't think that that disqualifies that church from being a possibility for you. So having started there with an attempt to stay more than go, which I think should be, that really should be our posture. I want to stay. I don't want to go shopping. I don't want to look for greener pet. I want to be here. Start with that attitude. It'll keep you from shopping and bopping. But having said all of that, are there other things that are happening that sometimes the sinner's prayer is indicative of? Where maybe the gospel has been altered a wee bit, where it is no longer about the wrath of God being assuaged by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died and rose again. If it's not about repentance and faith, dying to self, submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ, that oftentimes, not always, but that oftentimes will be another one of the aspects of a church that invokes a sinner's prayer. That starts to get a little bit more like, okay, are they serious about godliness? Are the elders serious about shepherding you? And as you examine those things, then I think you can make the conclusion, because they are small or orthodox, if nothing is wonky, then you can certainly stay, and you're just going to have to put up with it, like we all have to do in church. Everybody has to put up with something, because people just do stuff I wouldn't do, and they've got parts of it that I don't really particularly care for. But then we all grow together, too. Now, having said that, could you look around you in your community to see if there's a better church that's like, whoa, like wow, this is going to change my family? Yeah, you can do that. But make sure that your posture is one that says, I want to stay. It would have to take something pretty spectacular for you to jump ship just because the church says the sinner's prayer. Final note, have you talked to him about it? Have you shared it with him? There's a number of videos. I know that we've done them here on Wretched. I know Ray Comfort has talked about that. Maybe you could find a video that wouldn't be offensive to him, that maybe would persuade him. You know, we don't need to do a sinner's prayer. Somebody could get saved right in their chair. God doesn't need somebody to walk an aisle. We've studied the history of this before. That is a practice that was invented, the anxious bench, Charles Finney, 1850s. It's a modern day evangelistic tool that is used to get a lot of people to come to an altar and say a sinner's prayer. Is it a sin to do that? Well, trusting that everything behind it is motivated rightly and nothing heretical is sent. No, it's not a sin, but so often it's so manipulative. And it's become such an patter. In the silence of your own heart, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, if you think you need Jesus, I want to see you slip that hand up. Slip that. Anybody going to slip up that? Slip. Do I see some slipping? Anybody slipping up there? Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. And then the music starts, and then they're encouraged to come down. People have been saved during that. There's no question about it. Is that something that is described, defined, or mandated in the Bible? No. Is it just fraught with all potential for manipulation? Yeah, it is. But if your church is doing it in an earnest effort to see people get saved, I don't think you need to go. Jimmy, would you advise scooting from a church like that?
I would. It would have to.
It would drive you nuts every week, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. But if it came on the backside of the gospel, a complete gospel presentation, I'd be careful to run out immediately. But you know, there are also different layers there too, because you can also say that it gives false sense of salvation.
Well, look, it's fraught with all kinds of problems. Yeah. But again, depending on the pastor, all of the things that are said, if it's done in earnest without any heresy, you're going to have to come up with a really compelling reason to say it's time to go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.